this morning.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm coming out of semi-retirement, I guess. It's by my choice. Brad's asked me a number of times over the year to speak, but through circumstances and busyness of life, it wasn't to be. But here I am this morning, sharing as we're going through hospitality series. So it's no surprise that it's my turn to speak. I don't know, how many know this might be a bit too loud? Echo. Should I turn that off? Oh, it's already off. Okay. just checking you all away, that's all. How many of you know that God's got a sense of humour? Good, especially the older ones. They've been around a long time. He must have a sense of humour. But we're still alive. And just this week, as I'm speaking on hospitality, I'm preparing, and as many of you know, I'm a painter, and the job I'm on at the moment, I'm working on a kind of office, husband and wife team, and their job is, believe it or not, is on recruiting and being hospitable. Hospitable. Hospitality Recruiting Service. That's the title. And that's quite amazing to me that here I am speaking, really thinking, you know, what does the Bible actually say on the word hospitality? Is there enough information? Is there enough, you know, instruction for us to get hold of and to share? We've heard Randy share on it. We've heard Jared share on a different way, and I'm going to share on a different way. So there's many ways that this could be shared upon. But it was just kind of unique, you know, that they, you know, hospitality, they are looking for people to be placed into hotels or restaurants as managers. So they are a recruiting service that owners of hotels in Niagara Falls are looking for people, and they're the in-between people to get people connected. Now, I'm not recruiting this morning, just to let you know. But I am wanting to equip us and to build faith in us in this biblical word, hospitality, and how God really sees it important. I feel it's one of the underestimated gifts in the body of Christ, that we don't really maybe put it alongside prophecy as importance and the value, as much as, you know, the gift of tongues or whatever, or dreams or visions. But God puts it alongside that. And we will read some of that this morning, but also go and study, find out in the New Testament how important and how much value God puts on this word, hospitality. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. And here we're going to read a passage. We're not going to read the whole of Romans 12. I know some of it, and most of it's familiar to us. I'm just going to pick out a few verses and then read at the end. But the New Testament does teach and talk a lot about hospitality. And here we're going to see how we are to respond towards people in the church and in the world. So we'll pick it up at verse 4. For just as many of us are many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And if we just turn over the page, if it needs to in your Bible, it does in mine, we'll go and drop down to verse 9, to the end. And this is, you know, how we're to respond towards people. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhorred what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. How many know there's like dozens of one another's in the New Testament? Like, I just saw a list, I just Googled it yesterday, and I got 59 straight off the bat. How many one another's can you, I'm not asking you to do 59, but speak out some of the one another's in the New Testament that God talks about. What's the obvious one? That's right. Well, there you go. You get the top point. What other ones? Holy Spirit. Or other ones?
Submit to one another.
That's a good one. That's a good positive word. Pray for one another. We did that this morning. Be devoted to one another.
Help others.
There's many more.
Be thankful.
There's many more. Yep. Be thankful in all things. And be thankful for one another. Serve one another. If we just do, if we just actually practice those alone, we will be a healthy, life-giving church, not only practicing this arena church, but also out there to other people. We will make a difference. Study just the one another, just the way God commands us to do that. And if we just see that command as a duty, which it is in one level, or do's and don'ts, which it isn't, we have to see that life commandments of those one another's as God's heart and nature. Because that's what He does. He loves on us. It says about Jesus, He's praying for us right now. He's interceding. Who better than Jesus, the Son of God, to pray for you? And that's what He's doing. He's interceding, the writer in the New Testament tells us. Let's carry on. Verse 7, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. There's another one. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, or the wrath of God in America, isn't that how you say it? The wrath of God. For it is written, I say that. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will reap heaps of burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What verse you think in that I just read, we're going to speak on, obviously, this morning. Where was the verse? Were you listening, reading? 13, thank you. 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, I get it that some of us are better at this than others. But it doesn't leave the rest of us off the hook. It doesn't let us off the hook. Right? We all can do this. But some are better. Some are naturally gifted. Some are naturally, doing this. And some of us have to, persevere a bit more and make it more of a priority. But we all can do this. We have received, at least, from one person in our lives, hospitality, right? I know there's many more, but at least one. If we went around the whole room and got somebody to share what kindness or goodness or hospitality somebody's done in your life, no matter how young to the oldest you are, you could give me a name or a situation or a story that happens. Historically, that's where I did a little bit of research and my commentary helps. Historically, hospitality was a huge thing in the early church. Without hospitality, the early church would not have existed. Why? Because when the traveling missionaries would come to your city, they needed a place to rest. They needed a home to rest. And it was only the Christians there that welcomed them in. Now, there were inns, like hotels, in those days, but they were too expensive, they were too filthy, and they were too immoral to stay at. Now, it wasn't only hospitality needed for the traveling missionaries and teachers, but the local church needed homes, because for 200 years there wasn't anything like we have now in this country and in this world, church buildings. For 200 years there was no church buildings, so the people of God had to go into homes that were obviously big and open for them to worship and meet and fellowship together. So it's important. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. How are we doing so far?
Good.
1 Peter chapter 4. And three verses that I want to kind of just a little bit unpack as well this morning. Talking about hospitality, but other things as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. We'll pick it up at verse 7. Peter is telling the church, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now here we're reading that Peter is urging the Christians to still be hospitable. The end is near. Now how long ago was this written? A few years ago, right? Hundreds of years ago. And the end, they felt that the end was near, that Christ was coming back imminent. They lived with that reality, that thinking. They lived with eternity in their hearts. So if they thought then the end is near, how much when we're talking about this morning of how the world is going, you know, down the tube as it were, and the darkness and what's happening, you know, Christ is going to return. Right? He's got to be turning nearer now than he was when they talked about it. Makes sense, doesn't it? Are we living in the minutes or the seconds now, rather than the hours and the days? Thank goodness God doesn't tell us the days and the time, and we don't proclaim this is the day he's going to come, but we live in that preparation, or should do, and sober. And he's saying, in that atmosphere, don't recluse yourself. Don't sit back and say, okay, I'm just as a Christian, it's so bad, I'm just going to wait for Jesus to return and hide. No, he's urging the Christians to keep on. Keep on. He's urging, above all, be fervent in your love for one another. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another. Stay connected with the people in the church and in the community. Don't recluse yourself. Just because you know Jesus is going to return and the world is getting dark. And that's a natural thing, isn't it? Sometimes to feel like we just want to hide away and just, I can't wait for all this to be over. Come, Lord Jesus. And yet Peter is urging, don't kind of add that attitude in one sense. Go, keep on reaching out, keep on with your hospitality, keep on loving one another. And in a broader sense, loving the people around you as well. Stay hospitable. But do it without complaining. Interesting that verse, isn't it? Because we don't complain, do we? I don't complain. I don't grumble when I've been asked to be hospitable or caring or show a bit of love and kindness to someone and I don't really feel like it. And especially when they don't return the favour back. I've had, you know, one Christian couple come up to me once and said, Dale, I've invited many people for dinner. They've come round and eaten at our table and not one of them has returned the favour back to us. They said that. Now that's a human response. Human response. But Peter is reminding us the reason why we are hospitable. And he goes into it in verse 10. As each one has received a special gift. So, realizing actually the gifts, as you've prayed out this morning, the gifts we have are gifts. They're from God. They're not something we've created or manufactured. We've just got to recognize, as Romans 12 and other passages, the gift that we have been given from God. And receive it as that. And also in the love. You know, we do it in the incredible love of God and the incredible love that God has given us for people. We do it with that. Our motives will be checked and challenged as we do hospitality to one another. There will be times when it gets challenged because you feel like, oh, we're giving all this and nothing's coming back. Just be aware that it's a gift, that it's in love, that actually we are supposed to be stewards of this gift. We're not owners. Whatever talents, gifts and possessions we have, realizing that everything belongs to God. That He is the owner of our lives. That we are just stewards on this earth, serving Him the best possible way we can, realizing that He's given us gifts and grace and the ability to do that. It's a good reminder when we get a little bit of self-pity, as we do, and I do, to remind us that we're stewards and it's the gifts of God that's given us. And we just want to be wise and open to use those gifts the best possible way that will help one another. And it, you know, when Peter says love covers over a multitude of sins, it's not a cover-up story, you know, oh, let's, you know, no. It's actually when you're in love with a person, you forgive them easier. Right? You parents, your kids, when they do something wrong, you've got more patience, more love for them than sometimes someone else's kids you see do something wrong. You think, oh, God, how the way they treat, whatever. True or not? I know, I didn't. You got the interpretation there. I heard this saying years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since, and you've heard it a few times, but it helps me when I reach out and when we reach out in hospitality to people. This is it. The Holy Spirit works more behind our backs than in front of our faces. I believe that. I take confidence in that. I take faith in that. That the Holy Spirit works more behind my back than in front of my face when I'm actually trying to do good to people and kindness, and I don't quite see it at times, but yet the Holy Spirit's working. When we were living in England, Barb reminded me of a story, and we lived in row townhouses, and there was the parking was right outside, you know, just our street. There was no other extra parking. You had to almost park outside your house or the neighbour's house. And one morning, Barb had the girls were very young, and it was raining, and she had all the shopping. I was at work, and she's trying to find a place to park, and she's parked 3 doors away from our house. And this guy, he's single, he was in his 60s, he lived in the house, and he pulled up at the same time alongside our car, Barb's car, and said, "Move, you're in my spot." Can you believe that? British people. And, you know, Barb said a few things. I mean, she should tell the story, I know. No, but basically, you know, that, you know, it's raining, the kids, I'll move it later. So she gets out of the house, you know, gets a knock on the door later, and she moves it. You know, we were trying to be kind in other ways to him, hospitable towards him. But some people can rub you up the wrong way, right? When you do something, they react differently. And that's really not our problem, really, and not, you know, why we would stop doing it. But it happens at times. But that's what grace and kindness is. It's at our expense. You know, they're good at our expense. So, anyway, years later, obviously we moved to Canada. And the other side of our house, the neighbours were Christians. They used to be part of our church in England. Mandy, the wife. And she was a care worker to John, the neighbour that was giving this attitude. He got sick and ill. And on his deathbed and on his dying, you know, Mandy sent us, they were trying to look for the letter, but Mandy sent us all these years later telling us that John said, when Mandy was caring for her, and he became a Christian. Which is fantastic. And in that kind of discussion and on his deathbed, he said, "I hope Daryl and Barb forgive me for the way I treated them." And I thought, you know, heart-wrenching, you know, and I thought, wow, you just don't know what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing behind our backs. It's good when you see and get that answer and that story that encourages your faith. We wish that it happens more often, right? But many times we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but trust in God. Romans 2 verse 4 says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So another word for hospitality is kindness, friendliness, being generous, being good to one another. We all remember what it feels like the first time someone's done a kindness or been hospitable towards you. The first time you meet a person, being hospitable towards someone makes them feel like they belong, right? And if they belong, they might start to believe. And if they start to believe, they might start to behave. Church sometimes got the wrong way around. Behave first, then start to believe some of the stuff, and then you might belong with us. Wrong way of thinking. Hospitality makes people feel they belong. I remember the first time, you know, when I was 18 years of age, just became a Christian, and a couple in the church, John and Val, open their homes to the youth group, and we would go there after we used to have Sunday night meetings. After the Sunday night meeting, we used to have just get together with a group of us of that age and eat pretty much their house out. But they had an open house, open hand, open hearts towards people, but it made us feel belonged, part of something bigger than ourselves. And I remember that. I remember that first time when we went to Vancouver to meet Barbara. I say Barbara because it might get word with Barb or Bob for the tape. That's another story, but I'll tell you that some other day. And meeting Jack. Jack at the airport for the first time, and how welcoming and warm he was towards me. And he had a nice black Cadillac. Drove me, which is nice. And then I went, you know, to the house, and Norma was there. Barb's mum. And just, you know, drank pretty much apple juice for a few hours because I was so dehydrated and maybe a little bit nervous, I'm sure. And just drank all the apple juice that I had in the house. I remember that. I remember when Barb and I came with our small family to Canada. One of the very first things. Fred Nelson Reed came and gave us a cake. I don't know whether it was those cinnamon buns, but it was something food that they dropped off, welcoming us into the fellowship and into Canada. I remember that. You remember stuff of hospitality. You remember what they do rather than what they say at times, right? You remember that. What stops us being hospitable? Well, this is for me at times, but it could be for a number of us. Too busy. Just too busy. Life is too busy. I've got enough on my plate. I haven't got time to be hospitable. Can't be bothered. True or not? There's times when you have that kind of attitude. Can't be bothered. Or maybe we don't put a high value on it as much as we do prophetic and other stuff as a gift. But as you read and study, as I have only just this couple of weeks in the New Testament, how important, you know, that God puts, how much information there is on hospitality. There's a few scriptures, won't go to it. 1 Timothy 3:2, you might want to write down. 1 Timothy 5:10. Titus 1 verse 8, 3 John 5-8. One of the qualifications of being a leader in the church is be hospitable. Did you know that? If you want to be a leader, or you are a leader, you're expected to be hospitable. It's in Timothy. Paul writes about that. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I meet people for the first time, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But it's four open-ended questions that I ask people. Don't ask them all of them, although there's times when I've asked all of them, but sometimes just ask one of them that I'll share with you that might help you. It helped me. What do you think are the four things that you could speak to someone or ask them on the face of this earth, any human being? What are the four areas in people's lives that are happening or going on? Anybody want to take a big guess? Family. Everybody has a mum. They might not have a dad, might not have a kid, but at least family. Sisters, brothers, family. Cousins, family, yeah. I think we've got families covered. Another one. Oh, let's go there. Alrighty then. We're closing the meeting now. We're going for prayer. Another one. Leave another person. Pardon me? Their hobbies, their pastime. Yep. Work is another one. I mean, there might, you know, other ones might be legitimate, but these are four. And I think you've heard it. It's family, work, health, and circumstances. They're the four questions when I meet somebody for the first time and I want to start a conversation or want to find a bit out about them to be kind and sow kindness into their lives. I ask, who's your family? Where do you work? How's your health? What's going on in your life? They help a doorway to be hospitable to people. And I'll finish with a story, true story, funny story, and then a saying afterwards. Again, on either side of the house, before Mandy and Neil bought the house, there was a guy called Ernie. And he was in his 80s. A guy, again, never married. And he, you know, was smoker, not a Christian, smoke a pipe. And walked past our house. You know, because obviously he has walked past our house to get to his house. And there's a big window there. And, you know, he was scruffy, walking with his pipe, you know, unshaven, hardly any teeth, you know, in his mouth. And we were trying to practice hospitality, and we thought, you know, Barbara and I thought, let's invite him for dinner. Our girls were very young. I don't think Sophie was born at that time. And we thought, let's invite him for dinner. So I'm stalking the window, waiting for him to come by. I know it's terrible, but this is what happens. And they say, okay, he's coming down the street. Let's knock on his door. He's home now. So I said, Ernie, we'd love to have you around for dinner. And he goes, yeah, great, love to. So, okay, we'll be ready in about half an hour. We're like, he was at our door within 5 minutes. He had shaven. He had put a suit on and a tie on. Everything. I was shocked. He got at the door. I said, wow, Ernie. I said, that was quick. He goes, yeah, it's good. All the discipline of being in the army in the early days, it helped me. So anyway, so we get him around the table. I guess this wasn't the best meal to give him, but we gave him spaghetti.
That might be poor.
Right, which is a great meal. But when you haven't got much teeth, you know what's coming. You have to picture this. As he was eating it, you didn't know if it was coming in or going out. Oh, girls, I remember Ash's face. Look, that's shocking. Anyway, there I am, there we are. And we are, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'll ask this question. You know, Ernie, you know, was there a time you why didn't you get married? And remember, he's 80. In his suit, out of his lapel, he pulls a picture of a 17-year-old girl that he knew in the army. And he said, this was my sweetheart. But, you know, it didn't materialise. You know, she married my best buddy, kind of thing. But he had it, you know, close. I mean, it was almost heart-wrenching, you know, kind of thing. Where do you go from there? But he had it that close, still, obviously, over all these years. And then you talk about family, and we got on to his parents. And I said, what's your parents' name? And his mum's name was Mary. And what do you think his dad's name was?
Joseph.
It was. What day do you think Ernie was born? Yes. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. His mum was named Mary. His dad was named Joseph. He was born on Christmas Day. I said to him when I heard that, I responded, I said, wow. I said, I'm surprised they didn't call you Jesus. And he goes, oh no, that would be sacrilege. You know, which it would be. Anyway, funny story, I thought. Okay, finishing with this. Being hospitable is not an add-on to our already busy lives, but it's part of our lifestyle. Being hospitable is more than just a functional thing that we do as a church. It is who we are relationally. We serve a relational God, don't we? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, you are a relational God. That you want relationship with us, Lord, so much more than we at times want it with you, Lord. That you love us, you know us intimately, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the hospitality, the kindness that you have shown us over many years. And we are so grateful and thankful for that, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that we would be that to people, to one another here, even more, Lord Jesus, than we are already doing, Father.
that you'd ask and help us, Holy Spirit, or what we could do next. What, Holy Spirit, that you could lead us to be more hospitable. Show us ways, Father, that, Lord, be life-giving to one another and people around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.